Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Working its way across the internet is this ticked off Vic, who I didn't know anything about, but maybe you did. He's a comedian. He's an internet personality. He is an actor. He refers to himself as the working class zero, sitting in the front seat of his car with the camera looking at him. He posted a video of a rant. I'll play the rant for you. We've cleaned it up a little bit and shortened it. But listen to his take. This will take a couple of minutes, but aside from the anger that you might be able to relate to, I think the guy may have a point. We'll let him make his point, then we'll ask an expert on the banking side what they think of what Vic has to say.
There's something that's been bothering me, so I'm just going to say it now. Dear government, we understand that the virus is not your fault. It happened. It is what it is. I'm not going to get into that idea that maybe you could have acted sooner. We can deal with that when this is all over. But here's the deal. We need a real plan. It was the right move to make everyone stay home because that's the only way to deal with a virus like this. But here's where I have a problem. So, you told us to shut down non-essential businesses. You told us to go home and quarantine. But you told us you would help. So where is the help? These checks are what they are. I mean, let's be serious. I'm not going to turn away $1,200 because, number one, if you're going to give it to me, I'm taking it. And number two, it's our money, not yours. It's ours. We paid that in taxes for everything we do every day. So, okay, look at the typical family. Mortgage payment, healthcare payment, car payments, electric, water, garbage, phone, blah, 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 blah. So maybe the $1,200 covers the mortgage. But what about all the other costs that we have each month? You want to help? Tell the banks and mortgage companies to stop all mortgage payment at this time. Just stop them and don't give me that 3-month furlough. How does that even make sense? So someone who lost their job because you said to stay at home doesn't pay mortgage for 3 months, but in the fourth month they have to not only pay that month that's due, but also the 3 months they owed in full because it was furloughed. How does that help? Someone was just unemployed and not earning money for 3 months. They weren't earning money. Hello? Now they just start back to work and all that money magically appears so they can pay the 3 months in a lump sum. How are they paying that? Look, it almost makes sense that they can start paying the current mortgage due for the month when they go back to work. But they can't pay the prior 3 months. They had no income. So here's the idea. Just add the 3 months of the furlough to the back end of the loan. So if they have, let's say, 19 years and 6 months left in their mortgage, just add the 3 months. So now they have 19 years and 9 months. How hard is that? You'll get your money, you It's just delayed. The working stiff wins if you do that. It really helps. It actually helps. And what is up with these banks? I mean, come on. You literally make billions of dollars in profit quarterly. That's every 3 months. The last crash was 10 years ago. So you have 10 years of massive profits and you need a bailout after 2 weeks of a shutdown? How come we, the people, have to save for a rainy day, but you save nothing? Every quarter that you made $3 billion in profit. Profit, not income. Profit. And all that means you paid all your salaries and bills and everything you needed to pay to run a company for 3 months. So every time you made $3 billion in a quarter, if you had just put $1 billion in the bank, you'd have $40 billion in the bank after 10 years. That's not even including interest. But no, you have to get bailed out again from our taxpayer money, and then you on us by not giving us a real break on our mortgages, credit card bills, or car payments, or anything, and the government allows this. We bail you out, we get rinse, lather, repeat. You should have had more than enough money to keep paying your workers and give everyone a break in mortgage payments. I'm not saying to wipe the slate clean. I'm saying to just add the missing mortgage payment to the back end of everyone's loans. Do it for everything. The car lease is now 3 months longer. The credit card payment is now 3 months longer. The mortgage payment is now 3 months longer. You want to help the American worker, you can eliminate all payments due until this is over. That way, unemployment and stimulus checks would only be needed for food. That is what the American family needs now. That would help us. Shame on you all. There could be a real plan in place, a real plan to get people through these next few months, a real plan to be testing, a real plan to allow workers who are considered non-essential to not worry about catching a virus and losing their house. Having to tell the government what to do because they have their heads in their That's what ticks me off.
So there's that. So now we call Dave Gibbons, who is a former deputy controller of the Currency of Credit Risk. Okay, so first we need to know about that. Tell me about your expertise on this, David, and then I'll ask you about what Vic just said, the guy that's so angry there. Welcome to the show, David. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
What's your work history been, the deputy controller of the currency of credit risk?
Well, for 27 years, I worked for an agency called the Controller of the Currency. It's a bureau of the Treasury Department, and they regulate the national banking system to include national banks and federal thrifts.
So this is in your wheelhouse, what we're talking about, right?
Pretty much. My second-to-last job at the OCC, Office of Controller of Currency, was as Deputy Controller for Credit Risk, where I basically promulgated policy for the national banking system, how to lend, how not to lend, when to put loans into non-accrual status and other problems. So this is definitely right up my alley.
Does this guy have a point here?
He sure does. He absolutely has a point. But I would start with the premise that the government has already acted. I don't know if this fellow has tried to get through to his bank, but the CARES Act actually that was passed, what, now a month ago or so, takes care of this for all federally purchased mortgages, meaning those purchased by Fannie and Freddie Mac. Borrowers can have a forbearance for up to 1 year from their payments.
But forbearance is exactly what he was describing, is it not? That is, they'll delay your payments for 3 months, but in the fourth month, you owe all four, unless you then restructure your credit or your loan terms. And that depends on the willingness of the bank, right?
That depends on the willingness of the bank. It also depends on the willingness of the government.
He wants to just put all of that on the backside. Just forget that fourth month, all four payments due in the fourth month or fifth month, whatever it is. Make the next payment due and everything else goes on the back end.
That's actually not a bad thought. If you think about the typical American worker living paycheck to paycheck, to call it forbearance, waive 3 months of payments, and then suddenly ask for the fourth month as well as the prior 3 months is not realistic. The typical American worker doesn't have that much money.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, you say that there's something already written into the CARES Act about mortgage delay and forgiveness, forbearance?
Yes, for federally purchased mortgages, those purchased by Fannie and Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, borrowers can delay their payments for up to a year. Now, what we don't know yet is what happens after a year. Does that year get extended to the end of the loan? Do they have to make up those payments? We just don't know at this point.
What do you mean we don't know at this point? How is that not known?
I don't think we actually know what their policy will be for taking care of the payments on those loans. My suspicion is they'll add them to the end.
Yeah. They, meaning the banks, the lenders. I mean, I don't blame them for wanting their money. That makes sense to me, but you can't get blood out of a turnip. What about car loans? What about medical expenses, utility bills, all of the bills that we accrue? What do you think about his rant on that?
Well, I think it's a difficult place we're in. We are a society that lives paycheck to paycheck, at least a great part of our society does. And we're not prepared for crises like these, for folks to lose their jobs out of the blue for no doing of their own. This was beset upon them. But the question then becomes, how much forbearance can the government and the financial system afford, and how much of the forbearance will ultimately result in true loan losses for the banking system, and then in what kind of shape will the banking system be in?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it would just seem to me like, look, nobody's making any money right now. Are banks making any money right now? It would seem to me like we're all just going to live in limbo for 3 or 4 months, and then in that fourth month, we're all going to pretend like that didn't happen. I don't know anything about banking, can you tell? And then we'll start her all back up again. I'll start making money. I'll start paying my next bill. And those 3 or 4 payments that I missed, I promise you I'll pay to you in 2056. But right now, this is all I got. I mean,
That's a reasonable story. The question is, what if it's not 4 months? What if it's a year? What if it's 2 years? And I don't know the answer to that. And let's hope it's a 3 month problem and it all goes away, because then adding these payments onto the back end makes perfect sense. If it's 2 years, then that's another story. The policymakers will have to think about how that's going
to
work.
Is this up to the government to fix, or the banks to just do what's in their self-interest? Because I bet they did this 10 years ago, 12 years ago. I'll bet they don't want everybody's keys. I'll bet they don't want our houses. Those houses just sat. The banks had no interest or ability in selling those. They did not get value. People stole the toilets out of those things. I'm sure they don't want our cars and our houses back.
They don't want cars and they don't want houses. Those are non-performing assets the day you get them, and they lose value about the minute you get them. It's really part and parcel the government working with the accounting profession and with investors in these loans to come up with a solution. It's not simply the banks.
Wait, who are the investors? Who are these investors in these loans?
Well, some banks originate loans and package them and sell them to investors. They're called private mortgage-backed securities. And the investors may be other banks, might be investment houses, might be corporations, many, many, many investors.
Okay.
And so if I as the bank am willing to say, okay, I made this loan and I sold it to you, I'm willing to let this borrower go 3 months without paying me. Are you investor? Because I owe you, the investor, those 3 months' payments. The bank actually owes those payments to the investor.
Okay, stop right there. So in other words, the same problem that I have with the bank has with the people that have actually lent the bank the money, these investors.
That's correct.
All right, keep going.
So it's a multitude of constituencies that really need to come to bear. It is the government, meaning the federal banking regulators. How do we handle this problem? The government housing agencies, I believe it's called the Housing Finance Agency, which supervises Fannie and Freddie. It's the accountants sitting there opining on what reasonable forbearance is reasonable forbearance and how might it be accounted for. And then there's the investors sitting there saying, are we going to forbear on what's owed us?
Okay, I think my retort to that, if you will, and you're not the bad guy here, you're not the bank, and maybe the banks aren't the bad guys, but it's the same problem for the banks that it is for me. I ain't got the money. You know, they can turn to these guys and say, I know you invested in us. It's nothing in life is guaranteed. Guess what? We don't have the money. You are not going to make any money for 4 months, investors, which, by the way, could include the homeowners themselves. If their money is in a mutual fund and it's been invested in a bank security or something like that, then it may be a very circular proposition. But I'm just telling you, at the end of the day, for everybody, the message is, I ain't got the money. You're not going to get the money. Everybody has to wait for their money. I just want to read you some of our text messages. Yay to that person whose audio we just played, Vic the angry guy. The next 847 says what he said. The next person said, I agree with this. The next one said, he may be angry, but every word he said is true. The next person said, is that guy related to David Hochberg? I knew someone was going to say that. And the next person said, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I'll read one more. He's at the wrong bank then. I'm guessing a big bank. I'm a community bank employee, and for customers struggling, we do add the payments to the end of a loan of all types to the end of a loan. I get so stinking tired of all of the banks being lumped together. Shop local. It works for banks, too. Okay, David, what do you make of all of that?
I think it's absolutely a lot of positives, a lot of correct in there. Folks can't make the payments. Banks should find some way to work with their troubled borrowers. They should find a reasonable way to extend these loans if they can. Again, they're going to need the help of their bank regulators. They're going to need the help of their accountants. And they're going to need the help of their investors.
Okay.
But for the local bank that this person was describing,
yeah,
that's absolutely true, because that bank's mortgages are on its own balance sheet. It owns those mortgages. It doesn't have to deal with that investor.
interesting point. But I want to just touch on something else you said there, and that is that these accountants and these, even if the bank wanted to do it, is this also true? Technically, they can't. Logistically, they can't. They've got hundreds of millions of customers. And if everybody needs to have a conversation about it, it's going to take a very long time to make this happen. And if you say, okay, no, it's a sweeping thing, nobody pay for 3 or 4 months, that literally is an accounting problem that either they don't have the laws or regulations to pigeonhole into, or it's just a nightmare and they don't even know how to do that technically. I mean, it's more complicated than it sounds. It doesn't mean it's not doable, but the point is some of the banks, even if they wanted to do this, would be hard-pressed to do it. Correct, David?
That is correct. If you just look what's out there, the call centers for some of these large banks are overwhelmed with calls. You can't get through. I think there's a government agency stepping up to take up the slack in some way in that regard, either buying the loans from the banks, because they just don't have the capacity to do the kind of one-by-one modifications that people demand.
My friend David Hochberg, who does a show here Saturdays at 10 a.m. on WGN Radio, brought this forbearance thing up to us last week, and he was hot under the collar about it then, too, and said, don't think that that's a panacea. That's not a magic key that makes it go away. You need to know how to play by the rules on this. He was very animated about that, and so too was this guy. David Gibbons, last comment from you, David.
I would say this about that. Having been a bank regulator for many years, the forbearance word is the ultimate F word to bank regulators and folks in the public policy sector. Forbearance is basically the taxpayer stepping in to help the situation.
To the degree that it is help at all. David Gibbons is the former deputy controller of the Currency of Credit Risk. In other words, he knows about banking. David, I'm going to call you again maybe in a week. Let's catch up on this. I really appreciate your thoughts.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Have a good day, sir. It's 1026. WGN News coming up.